The NBA playoffs continue without the Lakers. They've gone fishing. Clippers are still in it. This is the Profanity Nation podcast.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where we are the voice of the professional fan and the voice of some very sad Laker fans today. Joining me to my right, of course, Mr. Money Mike. How you doing?
Hey, y'all.
You hanging in?
He ain't worth that money.
Yeah, but you
y'all, he ain't worth that money. All I'm just saying, who am I talking about?
I think
we're going to talk about it.
I think it could be a few people. It could probably be a few people right now. Money. It could probably be a few people. Stat Pat.
Yeah, man.
The voice of reason.
Well, you know, we're going to have to do something.
Okay.
I don't know what we're going to do, okay. But we got to do something. You know, we'll talk about it later, but yeah, we'll just still have to process the loss.
All right, perfect.
Know.
All right.
So here's my, I mean, we got to get right into it. We got to get right into it. So here's the thing about it, what's really, really interesting is, if we look at the actual record, like the record is really bad. Like in the last 12 games, it's 11-1, right? We got swept last season in the playoffs. We won one game this season, but every game has been competitive. So we never really got blown out, but we're treating it like we got blown out because the adjustments and things were made in order for us to get over the top. That's just what really reality is. But at the end of the day, come on, man, like, LeBron, I really don't know what to say about him because, I mean, this guy is, at the end of the day, is just basketball. Like, what are we talking about? Like, you know, he's the way he's acting, like it's no big deal that we lost. You know, blaming like others. You know, I'm really not feeling anything.
Steph had a lot of memes out there comparing, you know, LeBron's responses to MJ's or Kobe's when, you know, Kobe said we just didn't get it done. We're not good enough. We have to get better. When does that start? Tomorrow or tonight? You know, right now. Of course, you know, I don't see it quite like money. Yeah, we weren't blown out, but I also see it like they play like Denver right now was just playing to the level of their competition. Mm-hmm. And at any time, for the most part, yeah, they needed that Jamal Murray, but again, there was never any time, even if we won those games, that we felt like we had actually solved some sort of riddle or broke a code or, oh yeah, now we've got something we can build on.
But we kind of did, but go ahead, Pat.
I don't know, did you feel at any time, even if we got those wins, that we were really building on something and moving towards something?
So in the beginning, the first game, I thought we were in it, and then we lost in the second half. But it was like we lost, and then when they were, like, pulling away from us. So we kind of lost by 10 points.
And that was the game of two halves for AD.
Yeah, so that was like, okay, that makes sense. All right, cool. That's when I started. But then the second game happens, and we're up by 20, and they lose that game, being up by 20 in the third quarter. We, as, you know, fans of the Lakers for a while, I mean, we know what that looks like. Like, we've been on
the other side,
yes. We've been on the other side of that. We've been the looking at teams you're talking about. Did we find anything? Do we find anything, you know, in the game that we can hold our hat on and maybe do something about it? It was about effort, and I can tell you right now, we did not have the horses. At the end of the day, there's a lot of blame to go around, and I also want to go ahead and pose that question: who do we think is to blame? Because I have my guy, I think Money has his guy. And, you know, it just because I see it like, you know, it's a coaching situation. If you're looking at, like, we're talking about the numbers, it's 4-1. We were talking about last year. Well, we only lost the series by like 24 points.
Yeah,
in total,
all four
right?
games. Yeah,
all four games, and then you got this new graphic, whereas the series, the Lakers have been leading for 150 minutes. And it's like 14 minutes tied and maybe like 30 minutes of the whole series of Denver winning. So basically what it was saying, the Lakers need to play a full game, the whole game, to win the game. All Denver has to do is play good 12 minutes, and they're going to win the game. All they got to do is play good 12 minutes. Take over, let it go be a back-and-forth kind of thing, and either we're going to miss shots, or we're not going to get timely rebounds, or it's going to be stuff like that. We're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you were saying, like they were playing down to the competition. However, I do see some cracks. I don't know if Minnesota's available. I mean, really going to be able to exploit them. But if you box out Aaron Gordon, does Aaron Gordon hurt you like he hurt us? You know what I'm saying? If we just go ahead and just say that, you know,
yeah, everyone do what they're gonna do. But remember, well, that's true. Because we said give – in the beginning, it's like give Jokic his, but don't let the others – and the others destroyed us.
Yeah.
Especially Aaron Gordon in this series.
And, I mean, shout out, I'm going to tell you right now, one person that I did not think was as good as he is, and that is Michael Porter Jr. I think it was very alarming that we had nobody to hold him. We had nothing. We couldn't do anything with him. If he was there, he looked at the shot clock, he just jumped up, he shot over everybody, and it was cash money. Mm-hmm. It didn't nothing we can do about it. And now, going back to my thing about who to blame is, because I could have swore before the game, they said that Vanderbilt was available.
But he didn't play.
So you tell me if a person is available and he doesn't play, who decision that falls on? Can't fall on LeBron. And I don't want to hear that's LeBron's fault. That's not LeBron's fault. Okay? You have a bona fide lockdown defender that you are not even going to throw out there for 12 minutes total time. And we're going to let something, we'll let us get cooked because we're getting beat on the wing? Nah.
All right. So you're leading into some coaching situations.
Yes.
There. Okay. So, Mike, before we went live, you know, you. Obviously, I'm sure you have your concerns with Ham, but you really didn't feel like Ham's decisions were to blame for this series loss or this game loss. What was it?
Well, you know, do I think Ham is a great coach for this team? No, I don't. But what happens is when you look at, you know, the resume that he put on in these 2 years, even though if this was not the Lakers, it wouldn't be a bad resume. Right, like he won the. I mean, listen, none of this matters to me. Right, Karen Vass, we don't care about the NCAA tournament. You know, shout out, you know, to the mayor. You know what I mean? But resume says that they won the NCAA tournament. Resume says that, you know, last year they had injuries and they fought, you know, and were able to make it into the playoffs. They got to the Western Conference Finals and then they played Denver. You know, resume
that went on to win the title. Yeah.
That went on to win the title. Resume says this year, you know, we had a few injuries.
Stars this time.
Huh?
Davis played.
Yeah, Davis played.
No big stars out for any significant.
You know,
time
we had a few issues, but we saw flashes where the Lakers were playing. There were, I would say, about 20 games where those 20 games. Nobody, I mean, I don't think the way that they played, there's nobody that would have been able to beat them. You know what I mean? Like that tournament run, for example, the way that they played in that tournament run, that nobody will be able to beat them. Well, the bottom line is, if we're going to blame Darvin Ham for not making adjustments and not putting in people in and not calling timeouts and all that type of stuff, we have to also give them credit for when we saw the Lakers playing the best basketball they ever played. So, It definitely is a matter of consistency, but
I don't know that that's the case. Were they playing that best basketball in spite of? We don't know.
I mean, okay,
I think that the story is yet to be written. Okay, the final chapter here. Last season, we saw Denver in the Western Conference Finals. They had one competitor after that in the finals and went on to win. This year, they're going to have to see two more teams in the West before they even get there. Now, if Minnesota takes them to seven, And we see that it's adjustments, and we're looking, well, we could have done that, but we didn't. Why didn't we play him? Then the stories yet to be written. I mean, I'm saying a lot can come out of what and how Denver does. Look, if Denver cleans house and sweeps, and wins the title, okay, fine. Then we look like whatever. But if they don't, and they go through, and the Lakers can only squeak one, and Minnesota comes out and squeaks three and takes them to seven, who's that casting a shadow on? Ham?
Yeah, I would say it would be Ham. And then also another thing, I mean, mainly Ham, okay? But one thing that was really, really glaring last night was the fact that it didn't seem like the Lakers can call on anybody to get a bucket anytime they want to in the fourth quarter.
Nobody.
I said it. I'm sorry. Maybe I hate me for it, but it's what it is. Yes, did LeBron James have a lot of points in the fourth quarter? Yes, he did. Now, when I asked him to get me a bucket, a good bucket at the end of the game, it does not look like he can close the game out. And the only thing you can say, well, that's not true. I don't know what that would look no further than Jamal Murray. I mean, that is what a closer does. You look at another closer. Look at what Ant-Man did in that other series against Phoenix. These are guys that when they get the ball, they have their shots that they're going to be able to get whatever they want when they want to.
And that's
where it's kind of hard for us being Laker fans. And I know we might get accused of trying to, you know, always defending Kobe's legacy. But it's kind of hard to come in there and try to rewrite the narrative when we lived it. We saw what it is, and we know what it's supposed to look like. We give it to Kobe. Kobe's going to shoot it 8 times, and he's going to make about 5. He might even go 2 for 8. But Kobe's going to shoot that rock. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be gunning for it. Mm-hmm. And I don't see anybody there. We don't have shot makers. You know, AD is not a shot maker in the crunch time. D'Lo is the one that supposedly have ice water in his veins, and literally every other game he is not really there.
Sometimes the ice maker's not working.
So, yeah. Right?
Yeah,
so
first of all, yeah.
That's what that is.
Look, D'Lo has ice water in the first 82 games of the season. You know, like that's, the playoffs, he doesn't have it. But you know what? Look, my biggest disappointment in LeBron is not really his offense. It's really the defense for me. Because at the end of the day, you know, when we go and we throw out that GOAT word and, you know, great, you know, and all these types of things, that the best player on the team, you know, if we say it's LeBron, they're up for that challenge. And at no time during the series did I see LeBron ever really want to make an attempt to lock down Murray. Right, I'm not asking them to get Jokic. You know what I mean? I'm not asking them to get Jokic. Mm-hmm. But Murray really, you know, Jokic is the great player, the great impact. He's going to get his. He's going to make his pass and everything. But that edge factor is Murray, and you know, so you got to at some point slow him down. And not one point in time, not one play, we saw two game winning shots by the same guy, like. LeBron did not ever take Murray, make an attempt to defend him, and I think that's where we really lost it. And I don't think that's coaching.
An idea. You have the person that you're saying is cooking us, and we got Vanderbilt on the bench. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm saying. I hear what you're saying, and believe me, I want to go ahead and shift the blame to somebody else. But right now, I'm really having a hard time when you have Christian Wood also available. So you got these two people, right? We got a person that can actually give us 6 fouls on Jokic. Don't use them. Then we're going to go ahead and have somebody like a Vanderbilt that is longer, that does have lateral movement, that can guard 1 through 4, and we're not using them. So unless it's LeBron James has told these guys that they got to stay on the bench, substitutions is squarely on the coach. And I'm sorry. I don't want to hear that Jamal Murray's cooking us, and we got Vanderbilt, our best defender. He's our best defender by a long shot. Not playing. Don't know. I know he's not the reason why we lost the game, but give us something different. Show me that you're coaching and using everything at your disposal.
This is a question I have for you guys. You know, the league always overreacts to championship teams. What I mean by that is they always, you know, adjust. The GMs go, oh, now we've got to build our team to compete against that specific team, Golden State. Now we've got to compete against, we got to get shooters. We need to go threes. You know, is it premature for the Lakers to be thinking, whatever we do, it is Denver that we're going to have to go through? I mean, is it premature just because these playoffs aren't over yet in 2024? Or is that the prototype that we need to be building to beat right now for the future 3-4 years?
To be honest with you, it's the blame game tonight. So knowing good and well you're going to play Denver and your midseason signing is Spencer Dinwiddie. Bro, I can't handle it. You know what I'm saying? I can't handle that. That you know you're going to play Denver. You know you don't have any big men. Your big men are Jackson Hayes and Christian Wood, and you already seen them for a whole year, half a year. And you do not make any kind of acquisition to give you more length on the court to be going. We should have been throwing bodies at that guy. Sorry.
A rotation of bodies.
Sorry. You know, so I'm just really irritated because there were things that we could have done that we haven't done. And now we're looking at, we don't need to blow it up. I don't think we need to blow it up.
No.
I just think, like, the pieces that we did try to go for, like Gabe Vincent, we didn't think that was going to happen. To be honest with you, quite frankly, I think Rui Hachimura regressed. He was not the same Rui from last year. Yeah.
At least as far as Lakers.
Notorious Prince had too much time.
Money Mike. Overreacting to start building the team and adjusting the team specifically to beat Denver?
Well, I agree with Pat. I don't think we should blow up the team, but we definitely have to get some more players in there that are going to be able to combat against that. Because it's not just Denver. It's Minnesota, too. You know what I mean? They got Carlton and Towns and Ant-Man. So, like, if it ain't Denver, you got to worry about Minnesota.
It's definitely not Golden State anymore.
Right, no. Yeah,
And it's a whole different game again. Now it's not – it's big man game again.
Yeah.
Right? It's no longer, just sit outside and shoot 40.
It's funny how that works, right? Yeah. It comes always back to the big man.
But see, I've always – but that's the thing,
though. But that's the Lakers game. It's only a matter of time until we get ours. We got AD, but you know what I'm saying?
I've always been of that, like, why are we conforming to someone else's style of basketball?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, back in the 80s and 90s, the bad boys were the bad boys. That's how they played. Mm-hmm. And they didn't care how they put the team together. They played a certain way. They did it. The Bulls played a certain way. And
the Lakers played
a certain way. It was flashy, showtime. They ran. You know, that's just what it was. Nobody conformed to what the other team was doing in order to make things work. So I think you just need to actually just put the puzzle together, you know, whatever that is. Like, you know, get your five, get your three or four rotation players and put them together. And then that's how we're going to go run off of it. If we stick to our game plan, we don't have to worry about anybody else's.
No.
And that to me, is that's the key. When we try to conform to other people, we can't do what they do. We don't have the personnel for that.
No. I mean, you know what's funny about, like, we were talking about the big man and stuff and how the game is going back to that. We don't want to dictate, but it's funny that, you know, or we want to, like, kind of imitate, to what other people are doing. But the funny thing about it, I remember, like, it was our mission to always have the best big man in the game. It was our mission. We were hell-bent on that distinction. We had Will Chamberlain. We had Kareem. We had Shaq. We had Dwight Howard. You threw that in there, right? Had AD.
Chris,
it was just, like, the best big men. But now we're on the other end of that shit.
Yeah.
And it don't feel good.
Uh-uh.
It does not feel good to have somebody throwing up Hall of Fame numbers on you in the middle. Like, it does not look good. It feels bad. I mean, it's something that we supposed to be doing to other teams. We can't do it. We are helpless because, honestly, we don't have anybody that's going to be able to get them off the board. And that's another thing. When we talk about things that we know, rebound wins rings. That's an old thing that we that, you know, Pat Riley from back in the day when he was coaching the Lakers used to say all the time, rebound wins rings. And you look at the first game, second game, third game, they're killing us on the board. Like, they were not a concerted effort to be like, everybody crash the boards. Nobody leak out. No, they're getting one and done. But we were trying to leak out, outlet, outlet, trying to get these easy baskets. And what was happening, there was two people already in the front court. And, excuse me, in the front court and everybody in the back court. It was like 5-on-3. They were still crashing the board.
Because they're crashing.
They're crashing the boards.
They
well, we're not crashing the board.
Jokic and Murray could get a rebound.
Yeah, I mean, and not to mention, you got Aaron Gordon. It was actually the whole job was to create chaos, get offensive rebounds,
dirty
put
work.
The pressure,
do
the dirty work.
He did beautiful.
Oh, he did great.
That was, just, that was a masterclass.
Yes.
He literally, that whole series, he was masterclass in muck it up.
Yeah. Yeah, and then like, that's it. But we'll have to see what we got to do. I mean, is Taurean Prince still on the team next year?
We do know that Rob and Lakers front office held off on some trades that were possible because they felt that they can hold those assets for this summer. So it's a little premature to start talking about that because we don't know. You know, things can happen in the playoffs, and all of a sudden, you know, a player wants out. Who knows? Let's do speculate at least a little bit. One thing that we haven't talked about here, guys, and this is outside of playoffs, we're speculating on a player. There's been some rumors about a player over there in the East. I believe he plays for Atlanta, if I'm right. Do we know who I'm talking about here, guys?
Yeah.
Trey?
Yeah. Have you heard? Let's just ask Mike. Money Mike, have you heard anything, at least any, you know, there's some mild sparks or some smoke coming about Trey?
I'll say this. I don't want him.
Okay, there you go.
We don't need him.
Okay, okay.
He's not getting enough to go after or even sign him as, you know, he is, you know, when he first came into the league, you thought he was going to be something. Then now it seemed like he kind of became like a gimmicky kind of player, you know what I mean? And then now he's just
came back to earth.
A regular, like, not non-really impactful player. I'd rather have, and I'll say this, I'd rather have Isaiah Thomas than Trae Young, you know what I mean? Because Trey, I don't see where he serves a purpose and moves the needle either direction for us to go get him. And we have freaking D'Angelo Russell over here already that plays the same position. And D'Angelo, I think if you could even compare them, is D'Angelo's probably better. So
is that right? Do you think D'Angelo greater than?
I'll take Trey.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Really?
Yeah, I would agree a little bit there.
I'll take Trey.
At least a consistency.
It is definitely a consistency thing, and I don't think that – I mean, I've seen Trey Young also hit big shots in the playoffs. I mean, he knocked out the Knicks that year. And he was the villain, did it in Madison Square Garden. I mean,
he liked
so
it too.
He liked it, which it translates to –
But that was a couple years ago. Now, don't you feel like he's kind of gone down, though?
Yeah, but has the team
Well,
gone
no,
down?
Because when if you're looking at the numbers, if you look at DeJounte Murray and you look at when they're both playing together, they have, like, regular numbers. When one of them is hurt and not playing, either the other one's getting 27, 28 points a game. Every time. Like, Murray gets 27 points a game when Trae Young's not playing. When Trae Young's playing and Murray's not playing, yeah, he's getting 27 points. So the ability is still there when they're together, just not a good fit. So if I'm looking at the Lakers, I mean, there's some people that obviously are auditioning, you know, to get off the team.
Not stay,
you know,
on
not
the team,
stay
right.
To get off the team. Yeah, they're yeah, finding yeah. themselves in hard conversations yeah. that they're not going to be able to get out of. Yeah. Like, you know, Gabe Vincent, you're an asset now. You're an asset. You, I mean, look, you, Gabe,
you're tradable.
Do your thing at another team, man. You're an asset, though. You're a tradable contract. So we're going to go ahead and throw him in there. It has to be for the right, you know, deal. But I just one thought. I know we got to go to another segment, but I can't wait to see Wimby actually gets old enough to when he starts to flex
and get into the playoffs
and start getting. Now he's going to get obviously. They're going to be picking in the top five more likely. So there will be a pairing. Mm-hmm. They will be a Wimby and his partner, and they will probably terrorize their league for like the next 6-7 years. I mean, it's just
well, it'll
happen.
Take 2 or 3 years before then you'll get the 6 years.
I mean, the thing is, Wimby is already going to be that person next year. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got enough time to kind of like wait.
Put a point guard with him.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of like
passing point guard. It's over.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like
toss it up.
Like Shaq and Penny.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
Shaq was like already established. Penny had to just be that, and then Penny made his jump in the second year. But the first year, they were already with a rookie Penny killing fools. You know what I'm saying? It was like they were a rookie and a 2 year guy. Same thing with, I mean, Wimby is going to have video game numbers next year. I mean, he's going to be a shoe-in for defensive player of the year because they need to give it to him because he's a rookie. But he's going to get it every year because he's going to get what they call stocks, right? Steals and blocks combination.
Yeah.
And he has, like, by far the most of those. He leads the league in block shots. Uh-huh. He's going to have over 12 rebounds a game. He's going to score over 27 points because he can, because there's nothing no one can do to stop him from scoring that. Mm-hmm. And if Joker has touch, what can Joker do to Wimby? There's nothing he can do. He can't block a shot. No, I mean, no one can block Wimby's shot. No. So it's like, you know, what can he do if he's really not jumping off the floor? So it's going to be like, look, man. And, you know, Pop is just kind of like, okay, y'all just better let me get this team up because I'm coming back. My mind is still sharp.
Yeah, he knows.
You know, I still know how to push the right buttons.
He knows it's not next season, but a season after. Yeah,
you know, yeah.
Yeah, I agree there. I totally agree, as a matter of fact. Money Mike?
Man,
what are you looking? I know you got your researching over there.
Yeah, I'm over here researching. I'm trying to figure out who's going to be on the team this year. It looks like everybody is except for Torian Prince. I mean,
oh, my God.
Torian
Prince got a 3-year contract?
No, Torian Prince, he's the only one that's off. I mean, that has no contract.
Oh, good.
Okay. Yeah. But
okay.
We got Vanderbilt for till 27.
How much?
Man, Vanderbilt's going to make next year, he's making $10 million.
Tradable.
$11 million after that, tradable. $12 million after that.
Very tradable.
Gabe Vincent making $11
million. Tradable.
Austin Reeves making $12
million. Tradable, but that's a good buy.
Rui's making $17
million. Tradable.
Yep.
D'Angelo has a player option, so you already
we'll
know.
We'll see.
He's keeping it.
He's good.
We'll see.
That's $18
million. That could be a sign-in trade, though.
Yeah, if he buys in, they'll probably just trade him to the place he wants. Yeah. But it
Rui
could
be the kicker for a team, too. At that $17 million, he can make up a salary and be the kicker because he is a solid player. You know, even in his down year, he is a solid player.
Christian Wood, $3 million player option. Jackson, $2 million player option. Cam Reddish, $2
million. Yeah, we're good.
Those are all just salary.
And I should note also, LeBron James, $51 million player option.
He's going to turn it down.
And then three years, $164 million, maybe is the numbers.
do we still want him on the team?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, look. You know, I know you're stat pat, but I'm running. I have a couple questions. Right. So look, in 7 years, LeBron James has scored 9,436 points. His record is 204-145. His playoff record is 16-5, 2-4, 8-8, and 1-4. This is his playoff record. Now, if you notice, he's been on the team 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I only have 4 playoff records. So we didn't make the playoffs 3 years, right? And we won the championship and won.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when people talk about, and I'm going to start the conversation into this, talk about retiring his number, talking about getting him a statue, is all based on accumulation of stats that he's gotten on when he was his first 13 years or 14 years in the league. And he just, because he's on the back end of his career, you know, it goes down. His 40,000 points happen in Laker uniform. You know, his, you know,
money,
11,000
money,
assists.
Mike, we've
happened.
Been over this.
Right, but I just want to make
sure. He scored 40+% of his points in a Laker uniform. 40+%. We've been over this.
No, I mean, no way.
40+% of his all-time scoring record.
He has over 40,000 points and only 9. No. Is that 40%?
No, he has 20,000 plus points.
He got 9,000. He got 40, and he got 9. Points. So about a quarter.
No. He doesn't have 40,000 points. He has 20,000 points.
No, we got all time.
What's the all time scoring?
40,000.
Is it 40?
Yeah. 40,000.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Yeah, he has over 40,000 points. 9,400 of them came in like
that. He got, but I mean, That's still, if you're thinking about a 20-year career, and 9,000 came out of one stint right now.
In 7 years.
In 7 years.
7 years then. But performance-wise, like, we didn't make the playoffs.
He's going to get his number tied here. I know you don't want it, bro. I don't really, really
want it.
But the statue won't happen.
Does this record that I just said, the amount of points, his win-loss record, and his playoff records, does that say that's good enough for it?
In the new Laker land where we raise banners for in-season tournaments, it's more than enough. Thank you.
That's where I'm going to go. I was going to go there.
It's more than enough.
I was going to go there because we got to keep that same. We got to keep that same energy. If we're putting up Mickey Mouse stuff in our, then we're the same team that's going to do Mickey Mouse stuff and go ahead and retire this dude's jersey. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, we can't all of a sudden be above it. Like, we just put up, I mean, all you had to do with that in-season tournament banner is throw that junk on the other side of the stadium. That's all you had to do. The league is saying to put it up, I will put it up. But am I going to put it up against the national NBA championship? I won't do that. I'll put it over that side. And then we'll create our own little space for in-season tournament banners. It'll be over there, okay? But once we open that door of, like, just shenanigans.
It's so ridiculous.
We're cooked. So we're definitely going to retire his jersey.
That's one and done.
Yeah.
It's once you open the door, you can't close it.
We can't close it now. We can't move it. We're stuck. We have legitimized that trophy in Lakerland, which is terrible. And so now the little stuff that he done. He's going to get a jersey.
But listen, the general public made it aware to Karen Bass, I think that's hilarious, that nobody cares about the NCAA tournament, right?
Right.
Like, nobody cares about that. That's not an accomplishment. We want the ring.
Right.
We want to be able to say that we got one above the Celtics. This is, historically, we still have the old heads in Lakerland that really have a certain standard.
Yeah.
And I think that they need to abide by the standard that we have, right, that the Laker fans have and what we do, and we shouldn't turn us off.
It's not a democratic process.
Unfortunately,
It's the Lakers decide, the Lakers front office decide. You can make your voice heard by, not watching, not spending money, or doing what you do by just making your voice heard.
Let's sign a petition.
Idea, but I'm not going to break it out here. We'll bring it out soon. Hopefully, I'll talk to you about it after the show. I do have a petition idea I want to do. We finish every show with a segment we call Money Mike's Out of Bounds. Money Mike is going to share his thoughts or opinions on a topic, and he just wants to know, are those thoughts or opinions in bounds or out of bounds? You can let us know in the comments section. Money Mike, you got the mic.
Like, I just want you guys to guess what this is going to be about.
LeBron.
You're right. So, look. I got to thinking, right? And I was thinking, and I put myself as a college scout, right? And if I was watching, if I go to watch a top player.
In high school,
yeah. Right? I'm a college scout. And I'm a top player, and I'm going to go see this guy play. And I go see LeBron James play, and, I mean, he's killing it. He's doing a great job. And then I see him, reach for a ball and not the ball go out of bounds. He didn't touch it. And I see him jumping up and down. And I see him spinning. And I see him swinging his arms. And I see him yelling at this coach. I see him doing all these things. I see a complete tantrum. And if I see that, I do not want him to come to my college, because I know that there's something wrong with him when you react off of a call, because he's doing this while the game's still going on, and they over there shooting layups, and you are throwing tantrums, and you're throwing tantrums consistently during the game, right? At the end of the day, it's just basketball. Why is you worried about this one call and you're not getting back on defense or trying to make another play? Stop doing tantrums. Am I out of bounds to be saying that if I saw LeBron acting like that, if I was a high school college scout for it and looked at him, I wouldn't want him on my team because of the amount of tantrums he throws?
You
want to
beat him up over this one? Or
am I getting beat up over this?
You're talking about a high school student looking at a college.
I'm talking about a college scout. I'm tired looking at a high school LeBron.
Looking, throwing these and damn saying, tantrums.
I'm not going to bring him to my college because he throws tantrums, even though it's LeBron.
But you mean, are we talking about the LeBron?
Yeah, at 17 years old in high school.
I would not have him come to my, the way that he acts when he don't get a call, I would not have him come to my
team.
We have
like a Dodger bat. You could throw it at him. A
wrench? I'm just going to make it quick. You're out of bounds.
Wait, we don't have
you're out of bounds. So
you're out of bounds.
They got those tantrums.
Because so I'm taking the tantrums. I am going to buy his mama a house. I am going to do everything illegal under the sun to get the prospect LeBron James that we have never seen in our life to play basketball like that to come into my college and destroy and give me a LeBron James, 17-year-old love. I mean, you know what? I think
he's throwing
tantrums. I'm going to tell you something right now. I was really about LeBron James. I'm telling you. I'm telling you why now. Because I think we all forgot 2013, 2014 LeBron. I think we forgot about him. I think we forgot about how crazy that dude looked on a basketball court. Is he the best basketball player of all time? No, I'm not saying that. But that year was on steroids. And if you don't believe me, check out the 2013, 2014 stats when we were at Miami, and he was like basically that's the year that he won the championship, and he was just going apeshit. If that dude was playing like that in high school, what are you take the hate. Hate out your pocket.
Yeah, here right. we go. My turn.
Why is it hate?
My turn. You want to tee it up for me? I'm going to dunk it down. Okay, here we go. I appreciate it. Yeah, you're so out of bounds. Okay, look, I understand your point. There is such a massive difference between a grown adult at X 20 years in the league doing that and a high school kid with ungodly talent that you've never seen before, and you're like, no, I'm not going to take him because he threw a tantrum. I can teach him out of the tantrum. What I can't teach are the God-given skills that he was born with. I can't teach that. I can't just find that. But the tantrums, I think we can probably help him with. So, get out of the way. That is just wow.
Imagine Coach K comes in there like, that's not the Duke way. Yeah. And Roy Williams coming there. Cool.
Yeah.
He's going to be a Tar Heel.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. You didn't like his attitude. Yeah. We're cool with his attitude. Yeah. We're okay.
We'll work it
out. We're going to play you twice a year. Good job with that.
Exactly. And we're going to tell him to have an attitude.
You got the.
Do you see it?
21-year LeBron James throwing a tantrum. Mm-hmm. That's problematic.
Yeah,
give you that. We're talking about a 17-year-old kid that is already a petulant teenager. He's already a teenager. What do you expect from a teenager?
Play basketball and don't worry about the.
That's a robot.
Yeah, but he's also
with no emotion. Dude, a 17-year-old with no emotion?
Especially a savant, a basketball savant who's playing with average human beings. You get frustrated. So you're out of bounds. I'm sure everybody, but you could write it down. Just funny when I say out of bounds in every comment. You're choking me out, man. Yeah, you're so out of bounds. Dwan, producer, out of bounds. He said, you're out of bounds. All right, everybody. So we appreciate it. You're watching Profanity Nation every Wednesday morning here on InfinityTV.com. It doesn't matter that the Lakers are out of it. There's still basketball going on.
Yes.
And the Lakers.
We need the Clippers to lose.
The Lakers never go have Minnesota. An off season. Be sure to catch Full Clip this Friday morning. We're the Profanity Nation podcast for Stat Pat Money Mike. I'm Simsta. We out.
Peace.
Peace.